the 22nd chapter of Luke. We'll read from the 28th verse. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto him, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Verse 49. When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far? Now, the remarks I hope to make will center around the 36th verse. But now, he that hath the purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Now, what we have in that verse is something that I believe all of us can understand. A purse, a scrip, and a sword. That isn't very difficult. You find that most everyone at times will carry a purse. We find that they're used for many things. You'll find mothers here who have children will carry a large bag sometimes over their shoulder to carry necessary things in them. You'll find that David had a shepherd's bag, which was a purse. He had the things necessary for what he had to do at that time. And you'll find that at times most people will have a purse. Most women carry a purse. Men today don't carry them so much, but in the olden days they carried a purse, a large container that had capacity, that's the thought, to carry the necessities if they were traveling or doing some particular work. They had a purse. But a scrip is something different. A scrip is like a wallet. And in that scrip, you carry something that's particularly precious to you. It might be money. It might be some valuable papers, credit cards. But it's different from the purse. Now, I don't need to say too much about the sword, because we know that the sword is intent, its intent was destruction. Right? Destruction. Close combat. And so we have the practical side of this, but we also have the spiritual side that I'd like to speak about. But I'd like to say this, that at some time or other, all of us have to have these three things as believers. Now, in the previous part of the chapter, we find that the Lord had, we might say, instituted the supper. All the disciples were there, except Judas. He'd gone out. It was night for him. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing. I don't know of a privilege greater than to be gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus down here, to be at his table. But, you know, being at the table is one thing, and our conduct is quite another. And we're going to speak about some very practical things here in connection with the purse and the scrip and the sword. We find that the disciples, as soon as they leave that table and go out into the world, they begin to strive which are the greatest. Is that in keeping with such a position? And I'm speaking to my own heart this morning. Striving, which is to be greatest. Now, you know, today, everywhere in the schools, in public life, the emphasis is on exaltation. But in Christianity, the emphasis is upon going down. The Word of God tells us, in Colossians, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And that's the position that you and I are to take as Christians. The thief on the cross is the picture of the Christian position today. Think of it. Crucified with Christ. That's our position. The world, exaltation. And here are the disciples, all of them, striving to see which is the greatest. Is that in keeping with the table? No. And you know, brethren, everyone has this in their heart. Unless it's changed by the Lord Jesus. Everyone. We need to judge ourselves, old and young. And so they strove which should be the greatest. And the Lord says, well, he says, you know, I'm among you as one that serves. The great ones sit at the table. But I'm among you as one that serves. Does he reprimand them? No. He sets an example before them. I marvel at the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ shown out particularly in Luke's gospel. Marvelous grace. And what does he say to them? Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. He doesn't rebuke them, but he teaches them. And he teaches them through grace. I appoint unto you a kingdom. 12 thrones. And he sets before them the glory that's to come. And you know, without vision, the people will perish. The Lord sets before us that which is to come. And he encourages our hearts. But he does correct them too. But he first encourages them. And so he said, Simon, Simon. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Now, there was a special thing there that I'm sure that Peter didn't enter into at this time. And it looks like it's rather abrupt, doesn't it? I appoint unto you a kingdom, and now he's going to tell Peter that Satan desires to have him. Yes, there's an interval here before the kingdom into which we have the privilege of serving the Lord Jesus. And it's for this that the Lord was preparing Peter and the disciples for service. And so he said, Satan desired to have you and may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Why? Because he had a very definite purpose in the life of Peter. And may I say this? That the Lord has a very definite purpose in the life of every Christian here. And he has appointed to every man his work. Isn't that wonderful? There's no one of us but what the Lord has something particularly for us to do. And he's preparing us for it. Now Peter answers, Lord, I am ready. I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Is that the language of your heart? I know it might be the desire that you could go with the Lord and everything, but I am ready. You see, Peter had to learn the very same thing that most of us have to learn. And that is that the flesh profits nothing. Absolutely nothing. And Peter had better leave that I out of it. For the Christian, that I has to be set aside. And Christ has to be everything. The power. Hadn't God set him on high? The head over all power and glory. Administration now, as we have in the end of the third of Peter. Yes. Now he says, I tell thee, Peter. Peter was the leader, you know. But he's speaking to all the disciples, and he's speaking to each one of us here. I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Peter said, I'm ready. The Lord said, you're going to deny me. It's solemn, isn't it? And I said, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, nothing. But he said, now. Now. He that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, so on. Now he said a purse had capacity. A scrip was for very precious things. You and I have a new nature. That's capacity, if you're a believer. And the purse has to do with the carrying of necessary things as we go on our way here. A businessman would carry certain things in connection with his business if he had a purse, as they used to have in the early days, slung over his shoulder. Whatever it might be, but as a Christian, you have some things that are necessary. And what are they? The very principles of the kingdom of God to be kept in mind continually to carry with you. All the principles that have to do with the kingdom, because that's the subject in Luke. The kingdom of God. Oh, how necessary to be acquainted and to carry these things with us continually as those who would serve the Lord Jesus. But what about the scrip? Well, you know, it says of David, when he had his shepherd's bag, he had in it a scrip where he carried those five smooth stones, which speak to us of the five books of Moses. Something very precious to David. And it's with this he does battle. And you know, I think of the scrip as the inner man. That which is most precious. The precious things of Christ that have been brought home to our hearts. That we value. Not the necessities necessarily connected with the purse, but the precious things which are the very essence of the Christian life and the power of his life. The things in which the Spirit of God has made Christ precious to my soul. And we learn this in his presence. That's the 16th Psalm. When he tries our reins in the night seasons, the precious things, the scrip. But we mustn't tarry here. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Now we have buying and selling. The purse and the scrip they had already. And every believer has a new nature. And he's learned something of the precious things of Christ. But now the believer must have a sword. Oh, Peter says, here are two swords. Oh, the Lord says it's enough. You don't understand, Peter. You don't understand. I say to my heart this afternoon, this morning, do I understand what is meant by a sword? You know, we said the sword speaks of destruction. It does, too. But the question is it going to be in the flesh or the spirit? That's the point. There is such a thing as a sword that the Christian must have. Because you and I are engaged in a battle that we'll never escape as long as we're here in this world, we have to have a sword. Now, in order to get a sword, Peter has to sell his garment. That speaks of what the flesh is, and all its particularly his religious character. Because Peter was serving the Lord. He's at the table. But oh, how much he has to learn. You and I are at the table. Oh, how much we have to learn. The Lord doesn't rebuke them. He says, I appoint to you a kingdom. He encourages their hearts. But at the same time, he's going to see that Peter has a sword. And may I say this, that unless the Lord sees to it that that garment is sold, Peter will never get a sword. Never get a sword. Now, in the 49th verse, when they that were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. Peter says, I'll go with you into prison and death. Now the Lord says, suffer you. Is this as far as you're going, Peter? Is this as far as you're going? Now we go on to the 54th verse. We find that the ones who are to take Jesus have closed in. And they've taken him. Judas has betrayed him. Where's all the bravado of Peter now? I will do this. I will do that. Oh, dear ones, the flesh profits nothing. The garment has to go. And as we said, it'll never go unless the Lord sees to it that it goes. And that's what we have in the next few verses. In these next few verses, we have the garment gradually passing away. It's a humbling experience. Let's read it. 54th verse, that they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. See the garment disappearing? What's next? They kindled a fire. And were sat down together, and Peter sat down among them. The garment's beginning to disappear. Oh, you say, it's just the reverse, isn't it? No, the garment's beginning to go. Next verse. A certain maid. It says a certain maid. Some maid that Satan picked out to tempt Peter. Satan hath desired to have you. A certain maid. Oh, Satan is clever. And he knows what kind of instruments he can use. This man was also with him, and he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another. "Thou art also one of them." Peter said, "Man, I am not." But now we have an hour's respite, so Peter can think things over. Oh, how perfect the Word of God. About an hour. An hour passes away. Peter sits there. I wonder what was going on in his mind. Hadn't he said, "I'm ready to go with thee into prison and death"? What's happening? Just the reverse, isn't it? Oh, the garment has to go. It has to go. Peter never could remove it. He didn't never sell it. The Lord has to do it for him. And every step in the Christian pathway, the Lord has to do it for you. Remember that. And that's why it takes dependence upon the Lord, or we'll never win out. Never. About a space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow..." "Who also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Yes, that little bird was created for the Lord's glory to be used at this particular time and in connection with Peter, too. Oh, how perfect the Word of God. An hour has passed. Peter's had opportunity to weigh these things. Still, whatever was in his heart for Christ, and it was his heart was warm for Christ, but the flesh was weak. The flesh was weak. Yes, we can't have any confidence in the flesh. No matter whether it's young people or old people, we have no confidence in the flesh. The garment has to be sold, and the Lord will do it for Peter. He did here. Now notice. Oh, I think this is precious. The Lord turned. What was before the Lord? He was going to be judged for our sins. It says the Lord turned. He had Peter on his heart at this very moment. Oh, how precious. He turned and he looked upon Peter. I don't know what effect it had upon Peter. We won't know. But we know it had a tremendous effect. Because he not only wept, but he wept bitterly. But you'll notice, too, it says he went out. He'd sold his garment. He'd sold his garment. What does it mean to buy and sell? It means to evaluate. Because when you go to buy something or sell something, you evaluate it. What is it worth? I suppose some of us, it takes a lifetime to learn what it means to sell our garment. But Peter learned rather quickly here, I believe, because the Lord wanted to use him immediately. He sold his garment. And now he's bought a sword. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." What is it that converts the soul if it isn't the incorruptible word of God? What is it but that restores our souls except the word of God? Nothing else. Applied by the Holy Spirit through our consciences. Whatever means the Lord may use, but it's the word of God. Applied by the Spirit to our consciences. Peter went out and wept bitterly. But now let's turn over to the 24th chapter. The 12th verse. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. The Lord has gone into death, and now it's resurrection. Peter's heard the report from the women, and he goes to the sepulcher. And there, as he looks at those linen clothes, he sees the whole story. We didn't have time to speak of Gethsemane. Oh, what a precious subject. But Peter was there, and he went to sleep. He went to sleep. I wonder how often our hearts go to sleep at the breaking of bread. But I'm sure of this, if we go to sleep as to his sufferings, we'll be asleep as to his glory. Peter slept on the Mount of Transfiguration too, you know. Are you any better than Peter? If you think you are, you're mistaken. No, our hearts are all alike. We need exactly what Peter had before him. And what for? Because of what the Lord had before Peter, both in this life and in that next life. And Peter wonders. And now another verse. The 34th verse. Saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." Now, the Lord appeared first to Peter before he appeared to any other disciples. I know he appeared to Mary Magdalene first, but I'm speaking of the disciples. He appeared first to Peter. Why? Because he didn't want Peter's heart broken, that's why. Only the Lord knew how deeply Peter felt what he had done. The Lord knew. And he hurries after the resurrection to Peter. And he restores his soul. We won't take the time this morning. But when you turn to John's Gospel, you'll see that Peter was restored publicly before the other disciples, which is proper. Yes, there was a full, complete work. When he wept bitterly, he was sorry for his sin. But when the Lord Jesus met him right after his resurrection, he restored his soul. And then he was restored publicly. But now in closing, just a verse or two in Acts. We'll see the ultimate of this. Acts, the second chapter, 23rd verse. Peter is speaking. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. That's the sword that Peter bought. You see the difference? In the other picture, Peter was following afar off. He was denying Jesus. And now he's confessing that precious name. He has a sword. He sold his garment. All that belonged to the flesh, as far as being worthy to trust in, is gone. And now Peter, it's no longer Peter, it's Christ. And he's confessing before them, ye have taken and crucified. And then a verse in the third chapter. I've lost the verse. 3,000, or was it 5,000, that were saved in Peter's preaching? The result of Peter selling his garment and buying a sword.